Folks, today's study is number 27 in our series of studies dealing with Bible controversies, or doctrines about which Christians often have a good deal of disagreement or confusion simply because they fail to rightly divide the word of truth, like we're told to do in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Now, at the present time, we're still dealing with the misunderstanding and confusion that exists regarding spiritual gifts and other spiritual phenomena when the Bible is not rightly divided. That is, when God's program and dealings with Israel are not kept distinct and separate from His different program and dealings with us today in this dispensation of Gentile grace in which we live. For example, folks, all too often Christians read in the gospel accounts about all the fantastic signs, wonders, miracles, and other spiritual phenomena taking place at that time, and they look for God to work some similar miracle, or give them some similar sign, or some similar spiritual gift today. However, they fail to recognize that what they are reading about in the gospel accounts, along with the opening chapters of the book of Acts, for example, they fail to realize that that all pertains to God's program with Israel, and not to His program with us today in this dispensation of grace. Folks, as you should well know by now, failing to rightly divide the word of truth is the major reason why so much misunderstanding and confusion exists over what the Bible teaches regarding spiritual gifts and other spiritual phenomena. However, as we have been seeing in our most recent studies, there is also another issue that contributes to confusion when it comes to spiritual gifts and the like, and that is a failure to understand and appreciate what the Apostle Paul teaches us, particularly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, about the issue of spiritual gifts. Because spiritual gifts and other spiritual phenomena were in operation when this dispensation of grace began, oftentimes Christians think that they must be in operation with us at this stage in the dispensation as well. But as we've been seeing, folks, that's not the case. What Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 is that even though God did give spiritual gifts to the church, the body of Christ, at the beginning of this dispensation, He did so only for a very short period of time and for a very particular reason. And in connection with this, we are taught that in the very lifetime of the Apostle Paul and the Corinthian saints, God did away with the spiritual gifts that they had, and He replaced them with something far better, something Paul calls more excellent. And that far better, more excellent thing we still have today, and that's what God expects us to operate upon. And folks, once again, this is extremely important to understand and appreciate, because not only will it prevent you from being confused and uncertain regarding the issue of spiritual gifts and the like, but most of all, it'll prevent you from being deceived by the counterfeiting of spiritual gifts and the like from Satan and his policy of evil, which does continue on to this very day. Now, as we've been looking at this, we've seen the issue of Satan and his counterfeits. We have seen how that counterfeit spiritual gifts were operating in the Corinthian church. And we have seen that because of this, the Corinthians could not afford to be ignorant of what Paul was teaching them. But we've also seen how that we ourselves cannot afford to be ignorant of this either, because Satan's counterfeits were not only in operation at this time, they were going to continue to operate throughout the totality of this dispensation, even after God Himself had long done away with His genuine spiritual gifts. Now, folks, we need to continue on with this today in today's study. So take your Bibles and return with me once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But particularly, I want you to take note of the very last verse now in this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. And we need to look a little closer now at the fact that God has done away with the use of spiritual gifts, and that He has replaced them with something that Paul calls more excellent, and therefore He's replaced them with something that's far better. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. Now, here in the 12th chapter, the Apostle Paul has taught a lot of corrective doctrine to the Corinthians while they did have spiritual gifts in operation. And he set forth a number of things designed to straighten out their misguided and inappropriate thinking with respect to the spiritual gifts that operated amongst them. And he told them how to really organize their thinking with respect to the spiritual gifts and to recognize that some were far better than others were. In fact, he describes that in verse 28 when he describes how that God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and so forth. And after he sets that forth, he says to them in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And that's what they were to do in view of the confusion and the inappropriate emphasis that they were laying upon some other gifts that really weren't the best gifts to be operating in the local church. But now, after he says that, notice that last expression in verse 31. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And then he says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. That's an extremely important statement the Apostle Paul says there. He says, I'm going to show unto you something even more excellent. There was a more excellent way that God had for dealing with things than by the use of spiritual gifts. And the Corinthians had the spiritual gifts at this time, but a more excellent way was coming, and they needed to understand and appreciate that. And especially so did they need to understand that, because when the more excellent way came, the spiritual gifts that they had were going to be done away. And they really needed to recognize that the condition that existed at the present time Paul was writing to them, while they had these spiritual gifts, really wasn't the best thing of all. It was really a less excellent way of doing things. God had a more excellent way for doing things, and that was coming. And as we'll see as we go down through the passage here, Paul will describe it and so forth, but especially will he point out the fact that in his very own lifetime, in the very own lifetime of these Corinthians, that more excellent way was going to arrive. And that more excellent way has been here since that time. And it's important to understand and appreciate this, especially so we don't get deceived and become victimized by Satan and his policy of evil as he continues to counterfeit spiritual gifts and give people the impression that God's genuine spiritual gifts are still in effect at this stage in the dispensation of grace in which we live. So Paul's going to go on here now in chapter 13, and he's going to deal with this issue of the more excellent way that is coming. Now, we don't have time in this broadcast to cover everything in chapter 13, and the place that we need to focus our attention is especially upon verses 8 and down through the end of the chapter. But let me first of all just say that after dealing with the most excellent ministry of all that the Holy Spirit has to us, which is the issue of teaching us to have charity like God does, and that's what Paul goes over in the first 7 verses of chapter 13. Really, the most excellent ministry of all that the Holy Ghost has is to teach us to have charity like God himself does. And that's why Paul emphasizes that in the first 7 verses here of chapter 13. But after dealing with that, Paul, beginning in verse 8, begins to describe the more excellent way of doing things that was soon coming, which would replace the less excellent way of God doing things by means of spiritual gifts. So let's come down here now in chapter 13 to verse 8, and let's begin reading here. Verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, Paul's talking here about prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. Now, you got to keep that in the context here, of course. He's talking about, as he has been since chapter 12, the spiritual gift of prophecy, the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, and the spiritual gift of knowledge. And actually, he cites those three, even though he's really talking about all the spiritual gifts he's delineated back there in chapter 12. There's an interesting threefold or three-category breakdown that Paul gave to the issue of the spiritual gifts when he cited them and listed them there in verse 7 of chapter 12 and down through to verse 10. He actually broke down the listing of the spiritual gifts he was talking about into three categories. And here in chapter 13 and in verse 8, when Paul simply cites these three particular spiritual gifts, the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of knowledge, each one of those three gifts comes from each of the three groupings that he gave back in chapter 12. And he's letting each one of those three gifts represent the three categories of spiritual gifts he delineated back there in chapter 12. That prevents him, or makes so he doesn't have to list all the gifts all over again, but you understand from the three representative gifts from the three categories back in chapter 12 that he's dealing with all these spiritual gifts. Now the point, once again, though, in verse 8 here, is that he's saying they're going to be done away. Once again, he says, whether there be prophecy, it, he says, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The gift of prophecy, he says, is going to fail. That doesn't mean that what's been prophesied about is going to fail to come to pass or something like that. But it's like when we talk about a well of water failing. The issue is that there's no more water in the well, no more water to be given. Well, what he's saying here is the gift of prophecy is going to fail. There aren't going to be any more prophecies to be given. And therefore, the gift is going to run out, so to speak, and not have any more usefulness to it. And when he says about the gift of tongues, he says, they shall cease. It doesn't mean people are going to stop talking or using their tongue. He's talking about the gift of tongues once again. And all of a sudden, he says, that's just going to cease. And the ones who have the gift, they're not going to have them anymore. And knowledge, he says, it shall vanish away. The ones with the gift of knowledge, they're not going to have that gift anymore, and the supernatural capacity for insight and discernment that gift gave them, they're not going to possess that anymore. Once again, he's making it plain and clear here in verse 8 that the use of the spiritual gifts that the Corinthians had among them, they are going to come to an end. Now, the important questions to ask in connection with that, of course, is why would their use come to an end? And most importantly, when would it happen? Well, Paul goes on and sets all that forth in the very next verses. In verse 9, he describes why the use of spiritual gifts would come to an end. Look at verse 9. He says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." The reason why the use of spiritual gifts was going to come to an end is because they are only needed while the knowledge that God has for us is partial or incomplete, not completely given. And while Paul was writing this to the Corinthians, that's the situation that existed. That's why he says, "For we know in part." They had a partial understanding and knowledge of what God wanted them to know as members of the church, the body of Christ. And in accordance with that, he says, we prophesy in part. The gift of prophecy provided for the knowledge while the knowledge existed in a partial state. Now, once again, that was the state of things at the time Paul was writing here to the Corinthians. That was the state of things at the beginning of this dispensation of grace. But that partial or incomplete knowledge state wasn't going to last for very long. Soon the complete revelation of knowledge from God would come. And when it did come, then the spiritual gifts that functioned while the partial knowledge situation existed, those spiritual gifts would be done away because they aren't needed any longer. And that's what verse 10 now goes on to declare. Paul says in verse 10, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." Now he's talking about the perfect knowledge and the partial knowledge situation. Right now, once again, as he was writing to the Corinthians at the beginning of this dispensation of grace, as he said in verse 9, we know in part and we prophesy in part. A partial knowledge situation existed, and the gift of prophecy and these other spiritual gifts functioned in accordance with that partial knowledge situation. But in contrast to that, as he says in verse 10, when that which is perfect is come. And he's talking about the antithesis of that partial knowledge situation. That which is perfect is a reference to the perfect or the perfecting or the completion of the knowledge that God wants us to have and possess today as members of the church, the body of Christ. And notice it says, when that which is perfect is come. It's not talking about a person. Oftentimes people think that Paul's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here and referring to his second coming. But he's not talking about a person here. He says that which is perfect. And even in the Greek text, it's a neuter concept. And so you know that he's not talking about a person. He's talking about that which is perfect. And he's talking about the antithesis once again of what he's dealing with in the context, which is the knowledge situation. At the time he was writing, a partial knowledge situation existed, but a perfect knowledge situation was coming. And that perfect knowledge situation, when it arrived, when it came, as he says there in verse 10, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, both the partial knowledge and the spiritual gifts that functioned for the partial knowledge, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now that's the when, and that's the most important thing of all to understand. The spiritual gifts would be done away. The gift of prophecy would fail. The gift of tongues would cease. The gift of knowledge would vanish away. All the spiritual gifts would be done away when the perfect knowledge situation existed, when God provided all the knowledge that he wanted us to possess as members of the church, the body of Christ. Now Paul goes on in verse 11 and down through the end of the chapter, verse 13, and he amplifies upon this by, first of all, in verse 11, describing the naturalness of this happening and the fact that we should naturally expect it to happen. And then in verses 12 and 13, he describes the glory and the grandeur of the more excellent position the church is in once the completed revelation of knowledge from God is here. Notice what he says in verse 11. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul's giving an illustration there of what takes place when maturity and growth based upon understanding, knowledge, takes place. And as he says there, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And that's a parallel to the situation that existed at the beginning of this dispensation of grace with the partial knowledge in existence, as with the Corinthians at this time. They're speaking as children. They're understanding things as children because they don't have complete knowledge. Their full education has not been provided for yet. And they're thinking, therefore, and understanding as children, partial, immature knowledge and comprehension of things. But as Paul says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. There were some childish things that fit in with their childhood understanding and their immature, limited knowledge of things. Those childish things were the spiritual gifts. They were perfectly fitted to the partial knowledge situation, to the incomplete knowledge situation. But the Corinthians should understand and appreciate that once the perfect, complete knowledge comes, they're going to be in understanding and in appreciation of things like men, like adults, like grown-ups, like mature ones. And the natural thing to do is to have the childish things put away and done away with. And that's exactly what's expected. That's exactly what's to take place. He goes on now in verse 12, and he describes, as I said, the glory and the grandeur of the more excellent position the church is in once the completed revelation and knowledge from God is here. He says, for now, as he's writing this to the Corinthians, for now, he says, we see through a glass darkly. The limited knowledge, the partial knowledge situation, makes it so that it's like looking through a glass, a looking glass, a mirror type thing, and seeing things darkly. There's obscurity, and there's not really a clear picture. But, he says, then face to face. In other words, when that which is perfect comes, then it's going to be like looking in that mirror face to face and seeing things clearly. Now, he says, I know in part. There's the application. There's the connecting with what he's been talking about previously. Now we have the partial knowledge situation. And that's, once again, as he's writing this to the Corinthians. But then, when that which is perfect comes, when that completed revelation, that completed knowledge is in our possession, then he says, I shall know even as also I am known. I shall know once again. I'll have an understanding and an appreciation of things. The knowledge will give me the ability to understand myself and know myself in God's plan and purpose, even as I am known, even as he understands me and knows what he's made me to be in his plan and purpose. And Paul, of course, makes it clear throughout this particular epistle, 1 Corinthians, but also in 2 Corinthians, that knowledge was continuing to be given by God even throughout Paul's ministry. He was continuing to have visions and revelations given to him. And a furtherance of the knowledge was coming. But there was going to come that time when the knowledge would be complete. And all that God wanted us to have as members of the church, the body of Christ, was going to be possessed by us. Now, folks, this more excellent way has already come. That which is perfect has been here for a long time. The completed revelation of knowledge from God has been here since the very lifetime of the Apostle Paul and these very Corinthians themselves. And we have it in the completed, written Word of God. Now, I want you to look with me at a couple of passages, even though we're quickly running out of time for this broadcast, and we'll have to continue to deal with some of these issues in our next broadcast next week. But look with me at some passage in which the Apostle Paul tells us that the more excellent way, the completed revelation from God, is here, and the very fact that he himself completed it with his later and last epistles to us. Come over, if you would, for example, to Ephesians chapter 4. It's fascinating when you get over it into Paul's later and his last epistles that very perfect terminology and full knowledge terminology that he spoke about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's the very terminology he consistently uses in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and the pastoral epistles. Look an example of it with me here right now in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul cites the issue of some spiritual gifts here that God had given. Verse 11, he says, and he, referring to Christ, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. By the way, notice Paul does not say there, and he gives some, as if God continues to give them. Now, Paul's writing here to the Ephesians near the ending of his ministry, and he refers to the gifting of apostles and prophets, evangelists, and pastors. He refers to all that in the past tense. God gave them. He wasn't giving them anymore at the time the Apostle Paul was writing Ephesians. Now, the ones that still had them were functioning with them up until the conclusion of the giving of the written Word of God, but they weren't, no new ones were being given. That's why Paul talks about them in the past tense. He gave them. But notice that he gave them for what reason? For the perfecting of the saints. Well, there's that very perfecting concept once again. That comes about by possessing the perfect knowledge, just as he's going to go on to describe in verse 13. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. There's that issue once again, the fully educated, perfect man, no longer in a childhood status, no longer with a childlike understanding of things. The issue now is these gifts have been given for the perfecting of the saints, for that perfect man, fully educated man status to be attained unto. Unto the measure, he says, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And Paul's providing, especially here in Ephesians, the doctrine that enables members of the church, the body of Christ, to be fully educated. You come on down, well, verse 14, he goes on and describes the satanic policy of evil's desire to keep members of the church, the body of Christ, as children. And you can also see, therefore, on the basis of that, why counterfeiting the spiritual gifts works together with that and accomplishes that in his plan and purpose, because just as Paul described back there in 1 Corinthians 13, when the spiritual gifts operated and provided for things in a childlike understanding and appreciation of things. You come on down to verse 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Notice he talks there in verse 15 about growing up into him in all things. All the knowledge is there, and the growth can grow up into Christ in all things. When you're here in Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, Paul's later epistles, and the pastoral epistles in particular, you're dealing with that full knowledge situation. You're dealing with the more excellent way having arrived. You're dealing with that which is perfect having come. Well, folks, there's a lot more that we need to look at in connection with this. We've only really begun to examine the reality of the more excellent way having arrived. And next time, we'll continue on with this and look at some other passages in Paul's later epistles in which he identifies that, particularly in Colossians 1, where he says he has completed the Word of God. But we're out of time now for this broadcast. I'm certainly glad you were able to join us once again, and I hope you'll be able to join us next week at the same time. Now, folks, if you'd like a cassette tape copy of today's study, or a listing of available literature and tapes to help you understand and enjoy the Bible, simply send us a note with your request. Now, the number of today's study to request is number 146. Now, folks,